Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Major Tom's Movie Podcast. It's been a hot minute since I've done one of these. It's just been a crazy couple months. But right now I've got a new group of movies that I ended up buying on Blu-ray. 13, actually, since the last time I did one of these episodes. So let's get right into it, and in no particular order. But I am going to start with my latest acquisitions. First one is Dune, the new 2021 movie, which is absolutely an incredible film. In fact, that was my favorite movie of 2021. This movie is impressive in so many different ways. The scale, even on the small screen, is incredibly impressive. I mean, the size of these ships, you know, the environments, the sandworms. It's epic in nearly every sense of the word. As someone who actually enjoyed David Lynch's Dune from 1984, this is a superior film in every single way, from the cast to the actual pacing and what have you. The thing is, this is actually only the first half of the story. Denis Villeneuve made sure to do it that way because you really can't pack a story that dense into a 2.5-hour movie. You have to split it up. And one of the other adaptations, which came out on the Sci-Fi Channel about 22 years ago, was a 4-hour epic, essentially. So, yeah, it's a great story, but this new movie is really fantastic, and I can't wait to see part 2, which is supposed to be released in 2023. So, yeah. And the other one that I got was Halloween Kills. Now, Halloween, not exactly one of my favorite slasher movies growing up. But it was one of the most influential slasher movies. It kind of really jump-started the entire genre. And we can thank John Carpenter for that. But that's for a different post. Halloween Kills takes place immediately after the 2018 movie, simply titled Halloween. I wish they would have just added a little bit more to the title to distinguish it from the original title. But the 2018 movie basically ignores every sequel and remake that came before. Now, this version of Halloween Kills that was just released on Blu-ray comes with an alternate ending, which honestly fits better with the film than what we got in the theater. But I do have my issues with Halloween Kills because it absolutely feels like the middle part of an ongoing story. And Halloween Ends, which is supposed to be the final chapter in this new saga, is supposed to be released in October this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, and hopefully it just kind of kills the whole thing, because Halloween Kills really isn't that great. I mean, it delivers on all the carnage that was promised by the filmmakers. I mean, it's got some of the most violent kills that I've seen in a mainstream slasher movie in years. So, yeah. But it could have been so much better. Now, moving on to the other 11. Starting off with Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And it's a sequel to 2018's Venom, starring Tom Hardy. But this has Woody Harrelson as Carnage, or Cletus Cassidy, a notorious serial killer from the comics. And, not really all that impressive, and quite frankly, this was a movie that kind of needed to be rated R, because Carnage is an extremely violent character. But unfortunately, even if the movie was rated R, the movie's got other problems, especially with the script, so changing of the rating really wasn't going to help in any. I still enjoyed it, but it's really not that great of a sequel. Next up is Kingdom of Heaven, the Ultimate Edition. I already had the director's cut of the film on DVD, but this version of the Blu-ray has three different versions. One of them is the director's cut. The other is a roadshow version of the director's cut, which has 4 minutes of extra footage on it. I haven't seen that yet. But you want to talk about a movie that deserves redemption. It's Kingdom of Heaven. I mean, the theatrical version was only 2 hours and 20 minutes long, but the director's cut adds 45 minutes of extra footage into it, including very important plot points, which flesh out character motivations and other story elements that really needed to be in there. So the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven is basically a very different kind of movie than what we got in theaters back in 2006. It's now really highly recommended from a lot of critics now. So, yeah, I definitely recommend it. Next up is No Time to Die, which is the final film in Daniel Craig's lineup. And this one is a divisive movie, to be sure, considering how it ends. But I thought it was a pretty fitting end to the character. And it's still a lot of fun. But yeah, it just leaves the door open. It still leaves the door open for whoever wants to take on the role next. So next up is The Last Duel. This movie was about a final French duel that was legally sanctioned in France, obviously. But I really like this movie because the approach to the story structure was very similar to Akira Kurosawa's Rashomon, and I'll get to that one in a bit. But it's about a French knight whose wife accused the knight's best friend of sexually assaulting her. So he challenges the squire, played by Adam Driver, to a duel to the death to determine if she is actually telling the truth. So, yeah, the story takes place over with three different perspectives, one from Matt Damon's character, the other from Adam Driver's character, and the final from the wife. It's a unique approach, and it doesn't always work, but I really like how they did that and get more information as time goes on. Otherwise, it could have been a really short movie. It's a 2.5-hour film, but it's actually really engaging. So, yeah. Next up on the list is Top Gun. Oh, boy. You want to talk about a movie that's quintessentially 80s? It's Top Gun, from the soundtrack to the performances. This is a very silly movie. Now, the reason I picked this up to watch it again is because it's getting a sequel called Top Gun Maverick, which is supposed to be released towards the end of this year, starring Tom Cruise and apparently Val Kilmer as well. So it should be interesting, but I feel that Top Gun really didn't need a sequel, and honestly, it was goofy enough to be fun. But the soundtrack was amazing, you know, Kenny Loggins and all that. So, yeah, it's a pretty decent time. Next up is Hard Target. Now, this one is from a company called Kino Lorber. Hard Target is probably Van Damme's best action movie, but it's also John Woo's first American-made movie. So, you could definitely tell the style that John Woo does it with. You know, you got the dual guns, and it's a ton of fun. But this particular Blu-ray is the unrated international cut, so there's a few extra minutes of action, especially in the final battle. But the final battle also includes Lance Henriksen's character finally going off the deep end. So it's a lot of fun. It's been one of my favorite movies, or favorite action movies, as it were, over the last 30 years. So, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. It's a lot of fun, and it moves at a really good clip. Now, for these next three movies, I've been on a Akira Kurosawa run for a while now because he's one of the most legendary filmmakers that ever lived. Mostly because Seven Samurai is one of the greatest movies ever made. Highly influential. I mean, it's influenced movies like Star Wars and movies like that. And every action movie that you see today owes its existence to Seven Samurai. And Star Wars also owes its existence to a movie called The Hidden Fortress, which I haven't seen yet. But these next three movies are pretty good in their own rights. First one up is Rashomon, which is the movie that actually made Akira Kurosawa noticed in the international community. It was released back in 1951. This is the movie that actually inspired the story structure in The Last Duel. So it's pretty good. It only runs at 88 minutes, but highly recommended. Next up is Ran, which is basically the Japanese retelling of Shakespeare's King Lear. And it's a gorgeous-looking movie. Colorized, it's 1985. But the story is about an aging warlord who divides his kingdom among his three sons. Two of them are who happen to be extremely corrupt, and the third son knew that, even though the father didn't want to hear it at the time and had the third son banished. But it's tragic, but it's incredibly epic, and really it works better as a samurai epic. And there's a particular siege that takes place during the movie where there is no sound but the music, and it's beautiful, but it's haunting and it's violent. So yeah. The third movie is what I consider to be the weakest movie that I think Kurosawa has done, and it's Kagemusha. Again, it's another samurai epic, but for some reason the tone in this movie is all over the place. It was initially intended to be a kind of a lighthearted affair, but some of the casting decisions that were made ended up making it more dramatic than it really needed to be. So there's a conflict of tone, and you can really tell. It's not a bad movie. It's still very good. But it's not my favorite Kurosawa movie. Next up is Street Fighter the Movie. Now, I've had this movie on DVD, but I got the Steelbook version, which is actually pretty nice Steelbook. Great artwork. But you know, the movie is pretty bad, but it's on a so bad it's good level. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme's first real misstep. But I think over the decades, you know, people have kind of softened up to it a bit. But the one thing that everybody seems to agree on is that Raul Julia's performance as M. Bison is one of the best parts of the movie. And rightfully so. He is fantastic. He knew what kind of movie he was in. And he just went for it. And unfortunately, it was his last movie as he passed away and before the movie was released. But I think he would have enjoyed it to a certain extent. And finally, TC 2000. I put this on a previous episode, but when I ordered it from Vinegar Syndrome, it took him almost a month to get it to me, so it's on here again, because I didn't get the movie until just before Christmas. So, yeah. The reason I picked this up is because the release of this movie was really under the radar. Now, I had seen this movie before, back in 1994, so it's been a while. But I picked it up because, you know, Billy Blanks, Bolo Young. Now, for those of you who don't know who Billy Blanks is, look up Taibo. It's him. He is the guy for that. And Bolo Young plays the villain in Van Damme's Bloodsport. So, but everybody else, not very well known. At least outside of the action film scene. Now, TC 2000 is definitely a cheesy early 90s flick, and you could definitely tell. Not the best, and definitely doesn't hold up very well. But I still enjoyed it because some of the fight scenes were actually really, really good. And Bully Young is always fun to watch. Billy Blanks, legit martial artist. But it's cheesy. So those are the movies I picked up. That's quite a bit. It's quite a haul. And one thing I have to say is that, you know, when new movies are released every Tuesday, I try to go in as soon as possible to find them before they sell out, even though that really shouldn't be the issue. But for some reason, for Dune and Halloween Kills, I went to three different stores trying to find these movies yesterday, and for some strange reason, they were not stocked yet, or there were no places for them yet, and it's very, very strange to me. Now, I understand that physical media is kind of on its way out. I'll do a separate post about that. But even with these new movies, we still got a few years before physical media flat out dies. I don't personally think it ever will, but it will become a very niche market. But even so, the fact that these places didn't stock these movies, at least until late in the afternoon of the film's release, it's weird. So I ended up going to Target to find these movies, and they had them right there on one of the displays. So I was like, cool, I'll grab them. And the fact that I had to go to Target, because I generally don't like Target. So I went to two different Walmarts, went to Best Buy, that didn't have these movies at all. But Target did. I don't know. It's just weird to me. Again, physical media, even as a collector, I have to understand that it's not going to last forever. It's too expensive for companies to keep doing that. And streaming is really the future for all this. I prefer physical media because that, from a visual standpoint, it's still the best way to go. You know, streaming has gotten better and better over the years, especially with 1080p. But there's something about having a hard copy of a movie that just, it just feels very tangible. And you know what? And if your internet goes out, I got movies I can still watch. Whereas if you're streaming, you're kind of out of luck. But that's pretty much it. So that's going to do it for this episode of New Buys for this episode of Major Tom's Movie Podcast. So I hope everybody's had a good holiday season. And hopefully everybody's going to have a safe and better year. So just stay safe out there and stay masked. And we'll see you on the next one. This is Major Tom signing off.